This is news from.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Today on the morning show, we have a great opportunity to talk to some friends from Weston School. Andy Niemeyer is here, a tech ed instructor, district technology coordinator, student information system administrator. Marcus McCauley here, high school special education teacher. And Hannah Powell, 4K through 12th grade school counselor. And Maggie Lanzinger, business education teacher, academic and career planning coordinator at Weston. So we say good morning to everybody. I guess maybe I've known Andy the longest, so he'll draw the short straw. How you doing there, Andy?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Phil.
Good to have you in here today. So you have some really exciting things to talk about. Could you talk a little bit about some of the career things that are going on? And next week's a special week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So one of the reasons that we're actually here today is just to kind of get the information out that next week we're going to be doing a combination of some job shadowing in the community. We're also going to be doing some mock interviews and some interviewing skills sessions within our school as well. And this is just a good opportunity for us to like try to prepare our students for what's to come after they graduate. And realistically, because a lot of these kids have jobs before they get out of school too. So any skill sets that they can get in these criteria are definitely important.
You've done this in the past. I think you've done it long enough now to kind of see some of that success in the community, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We've been doing this for, at least 4 or 5 years, where we'll take kids out into the Reedsburg area, Risen Center area. This year, actually, we're going to take a trip to Baraboo and visit Teal Plastics. So that'll be a manufacturing opportunity that the kids get to just to see. But to go back to success stories, we can talk about youth apprenticeship a little bit later, but we had a student who he signed up for a youth apprenticeship opportunity through Wisconsin Metals. He ended up going to Southwest Tech and did their welding program there, and then he actually came back to Wisconsin Metals, and now he works there full time. And one of the job shadows that we participated with or in was one at Wisconsin Metals just a few years ago. So you get to kind of get to see all that tie back together. And when a kid has success like that and he can kind of find his pathway, that's the goal that we're trying to get across.
I'm guessing area employers love that because, it's like instant recruiting for them in some cases, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And one of the things that I hear a lot of the times when I go to some of my meetings is the number of students coming in or the number of employees trying to fill the vacant spots that they can't meet demand. And anytime we can get the kids to one, realize that it's on them, that they are going to grow up over time. They have to take responsibility for their future. Once we can get those kids kind of connected to those employers, then it kind of, goes step by step. And when they have a really solid idea of what they want to do in their future, it's a feeder program for all those area businesses that want to participate with us.
You're listed as district technology coordinator. Now, technology scares most of us here, but does it scare you or not?
It scares me every day. and it's an ever-changing world,
yes,
Unfortunately. And I was actually glad that you threw all those job listings that I have, just because I can't keep them all straight.
So I knew better than you because I had it in front of me.
Yeah, you did. I was trying to write it down just to remind myself. But yeah. That position, it's one of those things where we had a lady who had been with the school, Deb Tapp, amazing employee. She had been there for years and years and years, and she got to the point where she wanted to retire. And then it was like, who's going to fill this role? And the job was advertised, and we didn't have anybody to fill it. So somehow I stepped up or was volunteered or, short straw again.
Voluntold.
Short straw. But so, she trained me throughout the end of her career and through the summer. And I guess I have a love for learning in a lot of different areas. And I'm kind of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of person. And, you know, as you go, you learn. And so far, we've been able to keep computers on and solve technical issues. And we've been fortunate this year that we've brought on a TC Networks, a third-party contractor crew, that we have two really amazing individuals that come to school twice a week and help with some of the more technical issues with the technology. But so far, you know, kids are learning using their Chromebooks, and teachers are able to project on screens and teach in the current way that teachers teach.
Tell me about your tech ed department, too, because you have a nice shop, a nice setup at Weston Schools, don't you, Andy?
Yeah, we're really fortunate that we have space. And I say space, but it seems like every year we get a new piece of equipment and then our space kind of dwindles. And we're actually looking at this year through some Perkins funding to buy a tire changer and wheel balancer for the shop. So then it's going to become, okay, how are we going to fit this into their shop now? But all these different pieces of equipment that we have and we can train on, you know, just help that student farther along in their life. But yeah, we're fortunate. A couple years ago, we had a very large donation that was given to our school foundation. And that greatly helped us to kind of modernize. We were able to purchase a bunch of new welders and a bandsaw. But basically just, you know, modernize our facility to the point where what a kid sees in our shop now, that's what they're going to see in industry or in manufacturing or whatever, you know, whatever field they might go into. So we're very fortunate in the fact that we have those supplies and we have good partners that we work with that either get us metal or can get us wood. And we just try to teach them the best practices and best ways to utilize that and staying safe and keeping all their fingers.
Yeah, exactly. I think about not only for somebody that wants to get into a career like that, but just to have those life skills. That's important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. I mean, part of one of the biggest issues that we hear about all the time is like kids or even adults, they show up to work and then they're there for a couple hours and they leave and they don't come back. So those soft skills that that are taught or should be taught in school programs or as kids grow up and go to different jobs, we really kind of stress on that kind of stuff and, you know, show up to work on time, make sure that you're coming ready to work, put your phone away, all the things that you think would be common sense, but maybe have been lost along the years. We'd really touch on those soft skills and, you know, safety in the workplace because it's definitely important.
Most definitely. We'll come back to you in a little bit, Andy. We're going to move over to Marcus. So, Marcus McCauley, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Phil?
Great. Good to have you in here today. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Weston.
So I'm the high school special ed teacher. So I work with freshmen, sophomore, junior, seniors. I'm also the varsity wrestling coach, help out on the ACP team. Maggie and I are on the Silver Eagle Foundation. So just staying involved as much as I can. It's got a little busy the last couple years with two kids, but still being able to stay involved and help where I can.
Wrestling practice started last night. How's the turnout?
Started good last night. We had 20 kids, so there was 16 boys, and we had 4 girls this year. Women's wrestling nationwide, as well as in the state of Wisconsin, has grown tremendously. They're part of the state tournament with the boys. I know the coaches' club is looking at proposing like getting their own state tournament and moving forward with that because it's growing so much.
Yeah, we looked at that, and even this year the regionals and sectionals are going to be held separately, aren't they?
Yeah, so both the regional and sectionals will be hosted the night before for the girls, so they'll wrestle on the Friday night before regionals and the Friday night before sectionals, and the boys will remain on Saturday.
Great. Why do you like going to work at Weston Schools?
I mean, I grew up there. I've lived there my whole life. I had great experience there while I was a student from kindergarten all the way through the time I graduated. I built a lot of relationships. So when I came back to work at Weston, I was working along teachers who taught me, but also there were some that had taught me that had left, and just being able to replace them and give back to what was given to me as a student.
You worked elsewhere before Weston, didn't you?
Yes, so I was at Sheboygan North High School. It was my first job out of college, which their high school enrollment's 1,800. So going from Weston with 72 kids to that was quite the culture shock. But I was glad I got to experience it. I worked there for a year and a half, and then I went to Plymouth High School and worked there for a year. And I probably would have stayed there a while. I enjoyed the people I worked with there. I had a great administrative staff there. But when Mrs. Kasten called and said, hey, we got a job opening, it was like, you know, my wife and I had talked about we always wanted to come back this way. So it was just kind of a blessing to be able to do that.
It's not always the easiest thing to do, though, to come back and work in your home area.
No, it's not. You know, it's definitely, you know, in my world where sometimes I have to have difficult conversation with families, it's families that I've known a long time. And I just try to make sure that they're understanding that I'm looking out for them and their kids and their families. And sometimes it's okay to have tough conversations.
Definitely. And you're a part of the alumni foundation, too. That's pretty active, isn't it?
Yep. And we don't do a ton of events, but the events we do are very successful. We have the meat raffle during the CAS celebration always brings in a great deal of money. We send out donation letters to alumni. We had our first trivia night last year, which was a big success. So we've been talking about doing that again. What else am I forgetting?
I mean, the main goal of the foundation is always not only to promote Weston, but also get alumni active in coming back and giving back. So, yes, there are some ulterior motives in this. But the other thing that we started a couple years ago was the Weston Distinguished Alumni Award. So that was our third induction of nominees this past year of recognizing alumni who have gone out into their own communities. That's a big thing we try to stress with that is it doesn't have to be, you know, you graduated from Weston and you came back to Weston and you gave back just to the Weston community. We have individuals that, you know, went to law school and then now at their own communities, the community service they do there. But then beyond that, we do have alumni that work in our area and have greatly promoted Weston and have done, you know, great things in their own lives. And that's one of the big things we try to do. But Marcus mentioned the things that the foundation tries to do for the school. So in Andy's tech ed donation was a pretty generous one that was brought in to give back to his department. Every year we kind of set goals and new projects and determine what are areas of need within our district. And we really try to focus on those to maybe lessen the burden a little bit of the school district, but to really give our kids the best opportunity. And what can we do as an outside group to ensure that even though, you know, we are a small school and geographically sometimes it feels like we're on an island, how can our students get the same opportunities and be just as successful as larger schools with maybe more funding or more alumni or just sometimes some more recognition?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And getting alumni involved and, you know, as you mentioned, giving back a little bit. Who did you honor this year at
Yes. So
homecoming.
One of them was Gary Rockweiler. After graduation from Weston, he went and ended up moving to the Madison area of Verona's where he eventually settled. But he actually started his own insulation company that's pretty well known down that direction. And he gives back to the school and the amount of things that he does within his own community. Habitat for Humanity, his company is well involved with. There's another organization that builds homes for veterans that he's really greatly involved in. So that was one of the reasons he was nominated and eventually selected. And the other one is actually local, John Shane. He retired from Weston a couple years ago. He's always been in the community. The focus on him being nominated and why we selected him was, again, back to what he's done for the Weston local community after graduating and going off to school and coming back and having a successful family farm. And then again, his dedication to Weston through retirement.
Interesting. Yeah, it's always fascinating to see where these people land after their school days, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Definitely. Tell us a little bit about the special education program as well, some things. I mean, that's a changing thing every year.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep all of my students involved. They're all full-time in the classroom. They get support through myself or my para, Cheryl Hyman, who has been at Weston quite a while, too, and she's very well-known in the district. I try to promote my students to, you know, attend school after school, get a job just like anyone else. There's no reason that just because you have something that may affect your everyday life that you can't do the same things as everyone else. But also we try to get them involved in a youth apprenticeship through Andy, or, you know, recently I've reached out to like the ADRC and getting them up to Weston or the DVR programs to just say, hey, there's options out there for you. You don't just have to graduate and do nothing. Like, there's still options.
Where are you going to be visiting next week? Have you got that all laid out?
Yeah, so next week I am going to Teal Plastics with that group because my dad actually works there, and we got that set up through him. So I'm taking a group of 10 kids over there, and they just recently bought the old Perry Judd's plant, so we're touring that plant and then their main plant behind Menards there as well. So we're getting a 2-for-1 deal on that day.
Awesome.
And then, I mean, the other places kids are going, there's a group going to the Sauk County Public Health Office, the Richland Hospital actually here in town. We're touring all of the rehab areas, occupational therapy, cardiac rehab, Galaxy Skate Center, Simons, REC, and then Teal, yeah. Nope. So
you're going to be busy.
Yeah.
Kind of see a little bit of everything, though.
So. Yeah, no, and that's kind of the goal. I will say, you know, it's kind of a shout-out back to Marcus. This group was actually formed 5 years ago when there was an opportunity for a grant to build transition plans, right, for special education students. And maybe Marcus can talk a little bit more of this, but special education students have separate transition plans that they need to have after they graduate high school. There needs to be some kind of okay, what is this student doing? So we did a lot of work with that and then decided, wait a minute, why aren't we doing this with all of our students? Because we needed to do this with our special education students, and every school is required to have an ACP plan across the state of Wisconsin. But when we sat down and did all this work for, you know, a smaller group of students for our high school, we looked around and said, well, why don't we just do this for all of them? You know, all of our students need opportunities, and this idea of, you know, special education, getting students in general ed classrooms, why would we do something different with them that we're not doing with all of them? So that's kind of how this formed in the first place.
Awesome. Maggie, I know you teach business too. Are you involved with FBLA clubs and things
like
that?
Yeah. FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. So that club at our school is one of our largest. We're pretty involved within the school, and then also making sure that our students do things outside of school. We're going back to the Milwaukee Bucks FBLA Day again this year. So it's a really neat opportunity that Wisconsin FBLA and the Milwaukee Bucks put on for FBLAs across the state for students to get to go down to Pfizer, tour the facility, hear from a keynote speaker within the organization, and then hear from all the different departments and areas in which you can work in sports. And then the kids get to go down and stay for the Bucks game that night. They're playing the Clippers that night. And then actually this year, we're staying overnight, and then the next day I'm taking kids down to the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago and touring the Money Museum. So that's a really neat thing that our students don't know. Again, we may be geographically isolated sometimes, but making sure that our students see things and experience things and get the same opportunities as other students. With FBLA right now, anybody listening that would like to donate to our Pack the Pantry food drive, if you want more information, call somebody up at Weston or find the Facebook page. But we've been doing this since even I was in high school and Marcus was in high school. We graduated 2012 from Weston, and I think we started this sometime when we were in high school. So it's been going on for quite some time. We raise money and then actual food and hygiene items that then are donated to Weston families through the Giving Tree, the Reedsburg Food Pantry, Passages, and then the Ada James After School Program here in town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. And
yeah.
Generally donate quite a bit then, it sounds like.
Yeah, so usually every year we float around about 1,000 items donated, specific like actual like cans of soup or hairbrushes or shampoo or whatever it is that people donate. And then we also have monetary donations. Laval Telephone is usually a big supporter with that. You know, and then the monetary donations go to support things that may not have been donated, and or all these organizations, especially the Reedsburg Food Pantry, can sometimes get more bang for their buck than I can going to Sam's or to Walmart through the Second Harvest Food Bank and stuff. So that money helps them purchase the things that they need throughout the year then too.
You all are busy in all the things you do during the day, and you coach as well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I coach volleyball. So that season just ended. It was a fun season. I told the girls that the last couple years of, I don't know what it was, but this year they kind of brought back the fun, and they saw a little more success than they've seen in past years. But yeah, volleyball, FBLA, business ed on the foundation with Marcus. So I think at Weston, one of the unique things about our teachers and all small school districts is our staff end up wearing a lot of hats and doing a lot of things. And it's cool to see, because I think sometimes at larger districts, there's not a ton of opportunity, and or maybe that's not the norm to just do all of the things that our teachers not only are involved in the classroom and with necessarily students, but within the community too, because we care. That's why you teach. It's definitely not for the paycheck sometimes, but we do this because we care and we want success for the students, and we want to make sure that we are producing students that then go on to do great things.
I really look at it as being old school a little bit, because, you know, when I grew up, that's, you know, teachers coached 2 or 3 sports, and they had, you know, all the clubs and things like that, and you guys are doing that now.
Yeah, like I said, I can name probably more people on our staff than not that just show up to teach every day, and that there's not something that they coach or a group that they're involved in, or, you know, maybe not right now, but in the past, everybody just kind of jumps in where they need to. And then the other nice thing is we have a lot of people on staff that have different areas, right? Especially when new staff come in, and, you know, like, we have new coaches that come in and new people that are involved in different things. Like, our football coach that coached this year, Trent, played with UW-Platteville while he was in college, right? It's not every day that you can pull people from different areas and recruit teachers that can do these types of things. That, again, you know, he's started a great weight room program now this year that our especially middle school boys are definitely jumping into and taking advantage of, and coming up with new and fresh ideas that, you know, sometimes make a difference.
Also here today is Hannah Powell. Hannah, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you in here today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am in my fifth year as the 4K through 12 school counselor at Weston. And then I'm also the high school student council advisor and the homeless liaison for the district. And then I coached 2 years alongside Maggie, but I had a baby in March, so I stepped back this year. That was going to be a little much, but yeah, that's kind of what I do up there.
That's understandable there. It sounds like you wear a lot of hats as well. So counseling, you know, that's for the entire district. So what you counsel, like a, you know, fourth grader is going to be different than a high schooler.
Yeah, it's very different. My day can consist of, I mean, it could be the loss of a pet, or it could be something a little more extreme at the higher levels. It could be talking about college. It varies a lot.
Indeed. A lot of college opportunities that weren't there a few years ago.
Yeah, I even think, I mean, I've been out of high school 11 years, and it's crazy how much it's changed just since then. We now have partnerships with different colleges. A lot of our kids work through our College Up program, or the Start College Now program that Southwest Tech has, where they're able to take classes virtually through Southwest Tech. They can take kind of general ed courses, or they can take more specific courses in different areas that they might be interested in, where we pay for all of that. And so they are able to earn college credits for free for them while in high school still, to kind of get that jump start. And then if they're a kid who maybe isn't tracking tech school, or Southwest Tech doesn't have anything they're interested in, we have the Early College Credit Program, which is through the UW system. They can look to go that route as well. And again, free college credits while in high school. And when you're in high school, you don't really understand how amazing that is, but once you've gone through college and you've walked away with the debt of college, you realize how truly amazing it is to get those free credits if you can.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've heard some just crazy stories about students and how college ready they are, the number of credits they get while in high school.
Yeah, you can get, I mean, there's kids who sometimes walk away with a year, year and a half worth of credits done. So it's an amazing opportunity.
Saves you a lot of money in the long run, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that's one thing, too. We're always stressing to the kids, like, we're not just covering the tuition and the credit cost. It's the book cost and those additional things that you don't really think of, because some of those textbooks are hundreds of dollars. And that's money, again, that you save by doing this.
What do you like about going to work at Weston every day?
I would say, truly, I love my colleagues. Getting to work with a great bunch of people is amazing. I love the small community. I truly can say I know all of the kids, which is really neat, because I think in bigger schools, sometimes you might know a face, but you don't know a name. And being able to every morning say hi to all of them and call them by name is a really neat thing, and having that connection.
Students are less likely to fall through the cracks, so to speak, right?
Most definitely. I feel like most of our students could say that they have more than one adult connection within the school. And that's such a huge thing with, you know, making sure we're able to identify, like, okay, that kid came in today and they seem like they're maybe not having a great day. We're going to make sure we check in with them. And a lot of times it could be four adults that have noticed that and are like, we need to go check in with that student. So our kids definitely get, I would say, a lot of adult attention, which is special. And it's something every kid needs.
You must have started around the time that COVID hit, right? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, I started the fall of COVID. So we were in our weird, like, sometimes virtual, sometimes not, which was very hard as a counselor to start because the kids weren't in the building. So a lot of times I was meeting with kids over Zoom and it was very crazy.
I bet. Are you kind of seeing, though, you know, a little bit over the hump now and things are kind of back to normal then as far as a counselor is concerned?
A little bit. I think, you know, our nervous systems aren't built in a way to withstand something like COVID when it hits and, you know, we weren't expecting it. And so I think we're going to see the ramifications of that in our students for years to come. And not even, I mean, academically you see it, but I think social and emotional, you're going to see that for a long time, which is so unfortunate. But we are doing all we can to try and support students through the things that have come about because of COVID.
There were a few positive things, though, that came from it, you know, like more Zoom meetings and things like
that. Yeah, right? Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if that's always a positive.
But, yeah. I mean, we still had to come to school every day, so right. We didn't really get the positive of just getting to wear our pajamas every day, but...
Exactly. But I think when you did get back to regular routines and back to full classrooms, that kind of was a good moment then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been amazing to finally... You know, be back to, okay, we know that every week, 5 days a week, pretty much, we're going to have all the kids here and be back to business as usual.
Great to talk about things going on at Weston. We'll take a break and come back with more in a moment. On a morning show get together from WRCO, we're talking about all the great things going on at Weston Schools. Andy Niemeyer, Marcus McCauley, Hannah Powell, and Maggie Lanzinger are here. Andy, we wanted to come back and talk to you a little bit about a little bit more about the youth apprenticeship.
Sure. Youth apprenticeship program is a program that typically happens at all schools, but basically it's an opportunity for juniors or seniors to get work experience during their time in high school. And a lot of the times I kind of talk with these kids about, well, this is an opportunity for you to figure out if you like this career pathway or maybe you don't like this career pathway. Because unfortunately, you know, you get some kids that, or you'll get a student who thinks they want to go into one thing, but they don't have any idea about it. So they start that journey, they go to college or they go to a tech school, and then they start to accumulate that cost, and then they realize, you know what, this isn't for me. So basically the youth apprenticeship opportunity or program is a way for us to connect students with employers. They get an opportunity to actually train and see what they do on a day-to-day basis. They get paid for the opportunity. It typically will last a year. Some students, if they start their junior year, they'll do it for 2 years. But it's just a great way for the kids to kind of get their foot in the door, figure out if that pathway is something they want to continue with or if they want to change directions and go a different route. So one neat thing about youth apprenticeship as well is that we tie a couple of requirements to it because students can actually get out of school early to go to a youth apprenticeship opportunity. So they also are required to do the OSHA 10 safety training course. They also have to take at least a course a semester that ties directly to that program or that pathway. So if a kid's in, let's say, farming, they could take the beginning farm management course through Southwest Tech, which is actually a really good deal because they get college credit for it. The instructors there are phenomenal. They could also take like a welding class with me at school. And those classes would be their related instruction, which not only are they learning on the job, but they're also learning in the classroom as well. We also have them do a little bit of a write-up at a point during that youth apprenticeship opportunity, just so they can kind of reflect on, hey, is this something you really want to participate in for, you know, the rest of your life? Is this something that maybe you don't want to participate anymore? But it gives a little bit more direction when they can actually experience that job. And the other side of it is we're filling the need from the employer's standpoint, where, you know, there might be, if an employer can take a kid and they can train them up through their junior, their senior year, by the time they graduate high school, they might have a job for them or a career ready for them for potentially the rest of their life. And those, I mean, you don't get back any years that's in high school. So if you can start that process now, you don't have to push it back and try and figure things out later in life.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Advanced Pump and Well Solutions, serving Richland Center and beyond.
Attention Medicare D patients. The 2025 Medicare D renewal period has started. Need help reviewing your drug plan options? Stop by Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Even if you're not a current customer, they'll guide you through all the changes for 2025 and help you find the best plan for your needs. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies are here to help you navigate Medicare D, because with them, you're not just a patient, you're formally. Visit today for your personalized review.
News Time today is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's high temp will be around 42 degrees with a good chance of scattered rain and snow showers by afternoon. A few snow showers could linger into evening and a low of 27 this evening. Right now it is 33.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
I'm Phil Neve for WRCO, WRCE News. An attorney who defended Jeffrey Dahmer has died. Gerald Boyle defended Milwaukee's infamous serial killer at his 1992 trial. His daughter Bridget posted the social media on Tuesday that her father died Sunday at age 88, writing that Boyle dedicated his life to the relentless pursuit of justice. Boyle had other high-profile cases as well. In 2001, he successfully defended Mark Shimura when the former Packer tight end was acquitted on charges of child enticement and third-degree sexual assault. Arson is not being ruled out in three early morning Monday morning fires in northwest Wisconsin's Sawyer County. The fires took place between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. A residence under construction and an unoccupied residence were both total losses, while a third fire damaged the Birchwood American Legion post. All three fires were reported by 911 calls and are being investigated by the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office and the State Division of Criminal Investigation. Wisconsin's Office of Lawyer Regulation accuses former state Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman of ethical violations as a part of his failed probe into the 2020 election. Law Forward filed that complaint, and Chief Counsel Jeff Mandel says it's a reminder that no one is above the law. OLR accuses Gabelman of making false statements, disrupting court proceedings, and leaking personal information of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss after their partnership in the investigation soured. The state Supreme Court will now have to decide whether any action will be taken against Gabelman. Thomas Perry and Larry Engel were both present at last night's Richland County Board meeting to express their desire to represent District 6, which was an open seat following the resignation of Ken Renish. Following ballot voting, Larry Engel was seated at the county as the county board supervisor for District 6. Richland County Administrator Candace Pesch reported on the status of the state grant funding following the closure of the campus, while Governor Evers took out some red tape language from the application, which the legislature had intended to make the process simpler. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which is in charge of the disbursement, has added its own requirements, which is making the process more tedious. It was also reported last night that the Richland County Ambulance Association has voted to disband due to unfortunate circumstances, with plans to reestablish a new association. Upon dissolution of the Ambulance Association of in the body, the accordance with their bylaws is donating all of its remaining funds, $30,867, to Richland County EMS. Requirements of the donation is that it is to be used for equipment, including personal protective gear for the EMTs, but excluding vehicles. The Board of Supervisors approved the acceptance of the donation. The purchase of new computers, laptops, and monitors for Health and Human Services staff was approved. Health and Human Services aims to purchase new computers on a rotating basis. Prior to the end of 24, 12 laptop computers, 2 desktop computers, 10 monitors, and accessories will need to be purchased. A quote of $22,000 was obtained. The cost will be covered by ARPA funds, medication-assisted treatment grant funds, and aging and disability resource centers carry over funds. To award opioid settlement fund grants to Richland County Treatment Court in the amount of $5,000 for prevention efforts, treatment, and recovery efforts, and to connect people to resources and expanding resources. Codification of Richland County Rules of the Board, a new code of ordinances for Richland County, the adoption of the Richland County Procurement Policy and Fee Schedule, and to accept a Richland County Campus Foundation grant in the amount of $3,000 to host a half-time AmeriCorps employee. The position will focus on educational outreach programs. Training and support will be provided by Wisconsin 4-H. Appointments to the Comprehensive Community Services Coordination Committee were approved by the board. They include Lori Cooey, Kia Holzman, William Miles, and Megan Johnson. Roundy's Supermarkets will pay more than $1 million to the state of Wisconsin for alleged package violations. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection says during a 4-day period in January, inspectors looked at Pick and Save and Metro Market stores in several Wisconsin communities. During the survey, more than 1,200 products were inspected to be found to have listed net weights that were unreasonably accurate, meaning consumers received less than what they paid for. DADCAP says products were found to be overpriced, an average of $1.44 per item, with the largest error overpriced by $7.04. Demolition is underway at Milwaukee's long-empty Northridge Mall. Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Tuesday said the process is expected to take through next year, all the way up until the fall of 2025. The mall has been the scene of numerous dangerous arson fires, and Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky is glad to see it go. Johnson said once the site is cleared, it can serve as a catalyst to redevelop Milwaukee's northwest side and help grow the city. Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday celebrating the harvest and other blessings of the past year. A tradition on that day includes sitting down and enjoying a delicious meal with family and friends. Many are currently preparing for Thanksgiving, including the United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian. The church will be hosting their annual meal for everyone to enjoy. Cindy Bremer is an elder of United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian and an organizer of the event.
Our upcoming Thanksgiving dinner, we're going to start at 11 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. It's a community Thanksgiving dinner, so the whole community is involved in it, and they can volunteer to help, or they can volunteer to bring food for the Thanksgiving dinner, pies, whatever. So it's been going on for quite a few years, our Thanksgiving dinner. 1993 was the first Thanksgiving dinner, and then we didn't have anything during COVID, and now we're just starting it up again.
Everyone is welcome to attend the United Church of Muscadet Presbyterian Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day at 11. The cost of the meal is a free will donation. Reservations can be made, and carryouts can also be ordered by calling Cindy Bremer at 608-604-5005 by this Friday.
Hello, friends. It's Ellie here from Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such. As autumn finally sets in, stay cozy with Chet's apparel. We have sweatshirts, crewnecks, and a variety of hats as well. Our merch isn't the only thing to fall for at Chet's. We have premium bird seed and a huge new selection of bird feeders to keep your feathered friends happy. Come explore our large lineup of cat and dog toys, as well as treats. As the wind starts whipping, you can be sure that we have your back with our Henry County wood pellets to keep your home warm. Sold by the bag or even by the pallet. We appreciate our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by 880 North Orange Street, Richland Center, or give us a call at 647-8833.
High temperatures will range up to around 42 today. A good chance of scattered rain and snow showers by this afternoon. A few snow showers this evening and a low of 27. A high of 42 on Thursday with a 40% chance of flurries turning to sprinkles around midday. Right now in Richland Center, cloudy conditions, and after yesterday's high of 57, we did pick up 35 one-hundredths of an inch of rain in the early morning hours. Our temperature dropped to 41 at midnight, and the current reading is the overnight low. It's 33.
Attention Medicare D patients. The 2025 Medicare D renewal period has started. Need help reviewing your drug plan options? Stop by Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Even if you're not a current customer, they'll guide you through all the changes for 2025 and help you find the best plan for your needs. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies are here to help you navigate Medicare D, because with them, you're not just a patient, you're family. Visit today for your personalized review.
The Hartungs were a family long before they became a business. Galen and Lorna Hartung taught their kids about hard work and honesty, not just in words, but in action. Randy Hartung remembers the day he learned the value of work. His parents handed him a bill for his sixth grade school clothes. From there, he and his siblings earned their way by mowing lawns, helping on farms, and sweeping floors at the co-op. Today, that family-driven dedication continues at Hartung Brothers, where they still prioritize honesty, hard work, and meeting customers' needs.
Sports Time is sponsored by Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924. Making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll check out the first night of girls basketball. The scoreboard is coming up. It was a big win for Marquette last night in men's basketball.
When the quality of your care and comfort matter most, the Kramer Infusion Center at the Richland Hospital and Clinics is here for you. We offer a wide variety of treatments in a comfortable, home-like environment for those battling cancers, Crohn's disease, hemophilia, or other health challenges requiring infusions. Because individual care plans are unique, it's best to call and ask if your care can be delivered close to home with us, the Richland Hospital and Clinics, caring, educating, healing.
Last night in girls basketball, the schedule began at Richland Center High School. The visiting Highland Cardinals won the game 43-35. A young Hornets team stayed within striking distance through the night. They led once at 12-11 before Highland scored the next 11 points and never trailed after that. The Cardinals were up 25-16 at halftime. Sophia Terrell led all scorers with 15 points. Addison Bedward added 10 for Highland. The Hornets were led in scoring by sophomore Kylie Burns with 10. Freshman J.C. Gander had 2 3-pointers, and senior Carly Meaden also ended with 6 points on the night. Highland won the JV game 37-30. Following the 43-35 varsity win, Highland will prepare to play Iowa Grant Monday night. Richland Center will play Portage on Friday night. Elsewhere, it was Riverdale staying ahead and winning by a final of 45-40 over Ithaca in girls basketball. Lodi, 65, River Valley, 31. Potosi-Cassville over Boscobel, 64-38. Evansville, 66. Dodgeville, 36. Mineral Point, 70. Lancaster, 36. Platteville, 51-50 over Barneveld. Cashton with a 67-11 win against Seneca. Hillsboro, 49. Kickapoo, 46. Austin 58-36 over Royal. Brookwood 53, Lafarge Youth Initiative 30. It was North Crawford edging Oneewoc Center 45-42. Argyle Pecatonica over Iowa Grant 82-30. Schulzburg 54, Darlington 37. Waseca Steuben 60, Southwestern 31. Wisconsin Heights beat Parkview 53-25. Reedsburg 58, Fort Atkinson 54. Arcadia 46-30 over Spring. Sparta. In girls basketball, Purdue was going for a 40th straight victory in non-conference games when it stumbled against Marquette last night. The sixth-ranked Boilermakers dropped a 76-58 decision in Milwaukee. Marquette stays unbeaten after five starts. Stevie Mitchell led the scoring with 21, and senior Cam Jones had a triple-double with 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. The Golden Eagles were never seriously threatened in the second half. Marquette has another stiff test Saturday on the road at Georgia. The Brewers' Pat Murphy has been named the 2024 National League Manager of the Year. Murphy is the first Milwaukee manager to win that honor.
I don't want to disrespect the award in any way, but I think that there's a tremendous emphasis put on these types of things that I don't think are necessarily indicative of, you know, what the award should be about. You know, it's a staff award. It's an organization award. Maybe that's a better way to do it.
Elsewhere, when two teams carrying 5-5 records meet Saturday in Lincoln, Nebraska, a bowl game could be in the balance if the Badgers didn't already have enough incentive comments from Nebraska freshman quarterback Dylan Raiola. That will add to it. He has guaranteed a win over Wisconsin this weekend. He told reporters when the Huskers win against Wisconsin, this team will be in the postseason. The UW football program has played in a bowl game in each of the last 22 seasons. For Wisconsin, someone else will be calling the plays after the firing of offensive coordinator Phil Longo. Quarterback Braden Locke talked about that.
That's tough to comment on. I think, you know, like I said before, it's decisions like these are very hard on people's families. They're very hard on the staff and the players. And so, I mean, it's just one of those things that you kind of have to handle it and be able to get yourself together and play your best ball on Saturday.
The Bucs get back to action tonight when they will be hosting the Chicago Bulls, and the Badger volleyball team will host Minnesota this evening. With a look at Wednesday morning sports, I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic treatment.
Are there quite a few local employers and local businesses that have co-opted with Weston for this program?
Yeah, we've had quite a few. This year, we actually have six students that are doing youth apprenticeship. It's kind of it varies depending on class and class sizes. We've had as many as nine kids in the youth apprenticeship program throughout the years, and again, six this year. But Pine Valley is a great example. We have kids that get their CNA license. They go work at Pine Valley. We have one student that's actually working at Mile Bluff Medical Facility up in Mawson, I believe it is. Then, you know, just a couple kids that are working like on local farms. The Needham Farms is a place that's had multiple YAs over the course of the last few years. And I've mentioned Wisconsin Metals with a student and how he actually went full circle and came back to work with them. So, yeah, basically if a kid, and I try to put it on the kid, if they want to do youth apprenticeship, I like them to go and make the initial contact with the job that they would like to have. Because one thing that Marcus always talks about with his students is they need to be self-reliant, or basically, you know, pushing for them to go out and make the first contacts. So anytime I have a kid who goes out and finds a job for themselves, I know that kid is serious about this opportunity. Whereas I've had it in the past where if I reach out to an employer and say, hey, would you potentially take this kid on? The kid doesn't have as much skin in the game, so to speak. So sometimes they don't take it as seriously. But when you put that, make the kid put in the extra effort, I think it helps to actually solidify the fact that, yep, all right, I'm starting to grow up. I got to start making decisions for myself. And typically, the kids who find that job, they stay with it through their entire, you know, the entire year. And then they reevaluate whether they want to, well, either do it their senior year or move on from that position and go someplace else.
All about life lessons, isn't it?
It absolutely is, yeah.
Yeah. The other subject that's come up recently, we were talking a little bit more about co-ops, especially for extracurriculars. Marcus, you've had a successful wrestling co-op with Ithaca for a number of years. It seems that that's gone pretty well.
Yeah, so this is going to be year 15 of the co-op. So we co-opted the 2009-10 season. I was a sophomore. And, you know, at the time, we had six, seven individuals that were pretty successful, and Ithaca had about six or seven and didn't have the most recent success. And so when the co-op talk started happening, it was like we were for it because, like, we'd win six matches in a duel and lose a duel meet because we didn't have a full team. So that first year of the co-op, and year two was even better. You know, we were competing, we were winning tournaments, we were winning the Ridge and Valley duels. We went up to Bi-State and won the Division III title that year, qualifying for team sectionals. So just to take two teams that were, you know, didn't have many kids and putting them together and just to see the success right away, and it's done nothing but continued ever since. And I mean, year in and year out, we have state qualifiers. We've won the Ridge and Valley duels like nine of the last 10 years or eight of the last 10 years. And it's just continued to get better and get better. And you'll have years where there's more Ithaca kids than Weston kids, and there's more Weston kids than Ithaca kids. But that's the point of the co-op, right? Your team. It's the Ithaca-Weston team. And their football is going to start co-oping in fall of 2026. Girls basketball was just approved by Weston last night and coming up for Ithaca. And there's also talks about softball co-op moving forward, which for us is kind of a high need right now, as our girls don't have enough girls coming out to put a team on the field. And, you know, Ithaca does, but I think adding girls to it, you're going to establish a JV program, which, I mean, everyone listening here for Ithaca baseball has had a JV full schedule how many last years, and look how successful their baseball team's been. You know, when I was a freshman, I wish I had more JV opportunities as a football because I weighed 103 pounds. I wrestled 103 pounds. I had no business playing varsity football against, you know, I always say Chad Johnson from DeSoto was 215-pound state champ. I had no business playing on the field with him. So giving those younger kids the opportunities so that when they do, you know, develop to be a varsity athlete, that not only are they physically ready, but now they've had the experience and the playing time to go out there and be successful.
The other sport of note is the track program, and you've had especially some of the relay teams. Yeah, I know they're clearly Ithaca Weston kids on there, and you've had some state success too.
Yeah, the track team's been doing well. I know we've had a couple girls that were on the relay teams the last few years that have done well. I think the biggest issue with this co-op, and Bill Twining's been on me for years, is we're going to have to come up with a mascot.
Yeah.
No.
And I know each individual team has had their say, but I think that's going to be the biggest discussion coming up, is we're going to have to get a mascot.
Silver dogs? No, that probably...
Oh, Lord. Phil, I think you just opened up a can of worms here. But just, I mean, to kind of touch on the co-op programs, especially from a female coach perspective, coaching female students, we've had this isn't our first year where we've had a numbers issue with basketball and girls softball. Volleyball is actually kind of on the uptick, and that's a nationwide thing.
Yes.
The sport of volleyball is growing. But we've recognized for a couple years that the situation that we're in, and understanding that with declining enrollment across our school district also means declining enrollment, participation, extracurricular activities, and then sports. Ithaca actually, these conversations have happened in the past, but most recently Ithaca approached us over the summer, because I think all small school districts are beginning to realize that they're all in this same position. You know, you might be okay for this year, and then maybe next year, you know, whatever the situation is, but you'll look at your enrollment, you'll look at the amount of students participating. And for our girls, you know, us already approving the football contract for fall of 26 was a move, because we both school districts understand that we need to be in a partnership, right? Wrestling's going well, track has gone well. This idea that, you know, if you have two schools that can kind of be each other's right of first refusal, meaning, you know, when one school is in a tough spot, they automatically think of the other school. They automatically go with them. And the more sports that we have students participating in together in general, the more successful all of the programs are going to be. Because, you know, this past summer we had Weston students, Cazenovia students, when we talk about, you know, like youth baseball and youth softball, playing with Ithaca kids. So that's already happening, right? It's already happening at the younger levels, and it's been happening at the younger levels for an amount of years. But, you know, we know that our girls need opportunities as enrollment declines. And again, Ithaca's in the same situation. And over the next, you know, when we're talking, honestly, 5 years, you'll see a lot more rural school districts in the same positions. You know, Kickapoo Lafarge has been doing it for a number of years for multiple sports. So this idea of having a partner school, one school that you're going to for all of these kind of needs, and it's just an automatic, well, yeah, you know, not this, well, you know, we don't want those kids, or, you know, why would we do that? Well, because it's ultimately better for each one of us, right? When Ithaca succeeds, Weston succeeds. The Ridge and Valley succeeds when the Ridge and Valley succeeds. You know, it's just an important conversation to be having. And I think a lot more people are starting to think about the future and understanding that this is just something we need to do.
I think a lot of times you got to work out the bugs, like who has the more home games and things
100%,
like that.
That's, right.
Or maybe one year one team has more home games than the other, however
right.
it works.
And, you know, I was at the school board meeting last night when this got brought up at Weston. And, you know, our school board is very understanding. And I've been to Ithaca school board meetings when this was coming up with football and spoke there. And, you know, we just need a lot more people in our community to kind of just step forward and say, yes, this is what we want to do, because I truly believe there are way more people that are in favor of these types of things and can see the positive of it than those who aren't, you know, maybe actually looking at it from a strategic standpoint or a logistical standpoint. But this idea that, you know, in an ideal world, partnerships are 50-50, right? And that's what everyone's goal should be. But in a realistic and logistical world, we just need a bunch of adults to get in a room together and just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what both schools are really at this point willing to do, and saying, hey, you know, we want to see you and you want to see us. And if we put our kids together, hey, this is going to be one heck of a team and one heck of a program. And I think it goes beyond sports at that point too, because then you start recognizing other opportunities that your students can do together. And it's just important conversations to start having.
Indeed. And I think for overall, for well-being of students, extracurriculars, it's been proven there, Hannah, that that's something that's very important, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. Having kids involved in extracurriculars, obviously it helps in their academics, their social and emotional. They have more connections with not only students, but they have that other adult, that a coach who they can confide in when things are tough, or they have someone to go to for advice, and it's just that additional person. So definitely.
And I think, too, sometimes people think, well, you know, sports are overrated, or people put those ahead of education. But I think, you know, the two go hand in hand, and they're also they're kind of stewards for the school, too, when they're out in the public, aren't they?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So we hope that those talks continue. Anything else any of you would like to add here this morning? We've gone through a real gamut of topics here today.
I would just say, like Maggie said, we're kind of a school out in the middle of an island. I mean, we kind of get split between Reedsburg, Richland Center. But one thing that we have that's going for us is the fact that we're small and we can talk to each kid on an individual basis. So from the career perspective or the future perspective, when a kid has that question, they are more than willing to, or they're more than have the opportunity to come and talk to a teacher. And all the teachers at Weston have so many different backgrounds where, you know, if they have a question on a specific career pathway or whatnot, they're more than welcome to just come in the door and talk to us. The nice thing about that as well is that because we're small, we can deal with them on that one-on-one basis, and we can set up individual job shadows for them. We can set up different opportunities for them that, you know, maybe at the bigger school, they don't have that individualism that we can provide there as well. I will mention that we also offer different industry recognized credentials or certificates throughout our school, mm-hmm. that basically if a kid wants to take OSHA 10 or OSHA 30, or even Maggie offers the Microsoft suite of you know, Word, PowerPoint, Excel. And these are all certificates that are industry recognized. So if they do a good job, they pass and they have those certificates, they could walk into a business office with that Word certificate and basically lay it down and be like, hey, I have this. Does this help me off at all? And if an employee is looking to, or employer is looking to basically hire a kid, and one has, you know, a portfolio of these certificates and the other one doesn't, well, I would hope that they're going to hire the one that's got the training, the background knowledge or whatnot. So we're always looking to offer or add more certificates to our group that we have, but there are definitely a lot of things that we can individualize for the kid to make, to at least hope that they choose their best path for their future.
Great. Well, thanks for all you do, guys. Thanks for coming in here today. And it's exciting to see young people coming back and giving back to the area. So thanks for all you do. Andy Niemeyer, Marcus McCauley, Hannah Powell, Maggie Lanzinger, all members of the staff at Weston Schools. And thanks to Molly Kasten, District Administrator, for setting up our morning show visit today. On this portion of the morning show, we're talking about the upcoming original Fall Craft Fair, which is happening this Saturday, November 23rd, hosted by NASCAR Fans United Grace Team. And joining us in the studio, Lorna Maxwell and Carol Moon. They're back to talk about it. Lorna, it seems like we just did this.
I know. It comes up fast every year. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. How many years have you been putting on this Fall Craft Fair?
Way before I went to the middle school, we started at the high school. The old high school.
The old high school.
Yes.
The
old high school we started.
That was our craft fair that the Jaysets did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This is the NASCAR fans one.
So they kind of took it over. Won the high school.
Yeah.
Yes, but so you're experienced with them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We've done it.
And you've typically done it the opening of gun deer season Saturday,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it was set up so that the women had some place to go if they weren't hunters, and that was the idea to begin with, and it's continued, so yes.
This is the big fundraiser for your NASCAR team, isn't it?
It is. It's
one of them.
One of them.
Yeah, we have a spring one also, and that's where we were here before.
Oh,
yeah.
That's our spring one. That's why it seems like it was just the other day.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But you've had great response, it looks like, too.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of vendors.
Yeah.
We have, like, over, what, 52?
Yes,
so
over
far.
52. Yes.
And there's still room for more vendors, so they could call April.
Yes.
How much does it cost to be a vendor?
$30 or $40, depending on the size of the area. And some will take more than one area, you know. They'll take up two or three spaces or just one space, whatever they want.
You have a real diverse line of crafts and wares.